Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from Absinthe to Zinfandel. First for news. News for thirst.
Hello and welcome to It's the Drink Talking once again. We are doing this podcast and the next two, I do believe, from the Museum of Comedy. Yes, which is in Holborn. Between Holborn and
Tottenham. Holborn or Holborn?
Holborn.
It's a good start. How do you pronounce that word?
Don't know.
It's like Marylebone. Marylebone.
Marylebone. Anyway, it's in central London. Bloomsbury. That's probably better.
Under a church.
Under a church, which is in Gin. A church that is, in fact, depicted in Hogarth's Gin Lane.
One of the famous Hawksmoor spires, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. So it has a drink link. But also we are surrounded by pictures of great comedians. It is a museum of comedy, so we've got pictures of the two Ronnies, Steptoe and Son, Hancock's Half Hour, Dad's Army, and we are currently sat on Spike Milligan's banquette. Yes, I know that sounds dodgy, but it's not. It's a banquette that he used to write a lot of his stuff on, and that they've got here, and it was in a pub. We think it might be the Flask in Highgate that Spike Milligan used to go to. When the pub went bust, he took the banquette and had it in his house because it inspired great writing.
There you go. It should inspire a great chat.
There's a lot of quite scary pictures. A lot of these dudes could not have gone into modelling, it's fair to say.
No. Well, you've got Tommy faces. Cooper.
Yeah.
But also got...
Those masks are really unpleasant. Those two.
Frankie Howard.
And Ken...
Trent Rivers.
Yeah.
And...
And Willow the Whistman.
Kenneth Williams.
Yeah.
And also you've got Freddie Starr's jacket in the
Which
corner.
Which is a yellow. Beautiful piece.
Yeah.
And have some very, very big names performing here.
Amazing.
In December.
Do you the biggest names?
Well, I was going to say Michael McIntyre's here and Bridget Christie.
Michael McIntyre performs here?
Yeah, he's going to be doing his show After Hours.
He's like a warm-up act for us.
The other way around. And us, yes, we are one of the biggest names performing here, for sure.
It's a lovely spot. Yes. And I've just seen they do magic shows for children, so I'm going to bring Wilf here.
Yeah,
book him into magic show.
Yeah, and you could stick around and bring him in. No, you can't bring him into our show.
No, you can't.
We give alcohol. Yeah.
But you might be able to hear the hum of the fridges. Apologies for that. But that is we're in a bar, which is very apt. And also there may be people coming in and out, so a bit of chit chat.
Because it's a bar.
It's out of the studio. It's a working bar.
It's atmospheric.
We're on tour.
It's really nice.
So anyway, guys. As ever, I'm joined by Tom Sandon, the other Think and Drink. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Ben. Yes, good to see you again.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
In fact, it's 7 days a week I'm seeing you at the moment because we're on tour with our show.
So we don't need to say much there.
Well, no, I don't need to say much to you, but maybe the listeners.
Yeah, well, what have you been up to?
Touring with you and spending 24 hours a day with you.
Yes.
Last week we were in Bristol and our van, the lock broke, so we were in the pouring rain, Sam. This was fun, trying to open a lock with the AA. Well, that all came to an end at about 1 o'clock in the morning when we finally got in. And then Ben and I went and got a kebab.
At
2 o'clock in the morning, we were in a Premier Inn twin room. I say twin, Premier Inn, but you were lying, weren't you? It was a double. And they put a camp bed in, and it was my turn on the camp bed. And Ben had the double, and we were eating our spicy chicken kebabs.
On the double bed.
With the ashes on the radio.
Yeah, but we also listened to a like a Kiwi police camera action, but in New Zealand. Which is even worse because there's not really any crime in New Zealand from what I can tell.
A couple of sheep.
No, got some lost. Woman broke into one of those charity clothes boxes, you know?
No.
So, yeah, that was her
to
crime.
Steal the clothes.
She was actually stuck in it. She was stuck in it, throwing the clothes out to her mate.
Was she sober?
No, they were actually on heroin by the looks of things. It was pretty bad.
And then some bloke nicked a boat, and it's quite funny because the new Kiwi policeman was going, he's up on, I can see him up on the dick, like that. He kept saying that over and over again, which was
sounded
quite funny.
Sounded
so anyway, how are you, Sam?
I'm very well, thanks very much. Nothing much report, being quite a nice week with my son's birthday.
Oh, wow.
And my mother's birthday on the same day.
What?
Wow, that's quite fortuitous or irritating?
Well, I thought it was quite good. And in fact, I was like, you know, this is what I'm giving you for your birthday, mum, grandson. So I thought I'd really kind of won in that stake. But actually trying to do the two things in one day is quite difficult. So I'd had 6-year-old birthday in the morning, then to zoom up to London, lunch with my mum, zoom back, birthday tea. It was quite a busy day.
It was nice.
But at least you get it all out of the way in one go.
That's true. And I made a weekend away because it was a big birthday for my mum. That was really nice. Went to Upton Bishop. Very nice pub, the Moody Cow.
Moody Cow.
There. Really nice.
Didn't you talk about the Moody Cow in your...
Yeah, I did talk about the Moody Cow when I was on Radio 2, Simon's Drive Time show last week. He changed the name from a very traditional old pub name to the Moody Cow, and it caused uproar when he did it because people thought it was referring to a lady in his life, and it was a sexist term. But he's put loads of pictures of cows up everywhere, so that it looks
and
like
and
he's
lovely,
talking about cows.
Great food. Some cider, is that part of the world? And
there we go. That's pretty
beers.
Weird. That's pretty weird.
Good.
You were there, and I was talking about
it. Very nice. Highly recommend it if you're in those boroughs.
On Radio 2, on Simon Mayer's Drive Time show. Do you want to talk about you being on telly? Because you've been on telly.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I haven't been on radio or telly, honestly. But
anyway. BBC Radio Bristol.
That was good. Right, anyway, I'm hosting this stuff, and I'm going to need to move it on. Because we're busy people and busy lives.
We're waiting for you, mate.
Yeah.
You
spit or swallow. Spit and swallow. So, I'm going to start with my swallow, which is Sadiq Khan.
Wow. This is a confessional time. Yeah. Where have you been with Sadiq?
It's all right. He doesn't... Don't write the headlines yet. Just read the article. He's been nice to pubs.
Oh.
Yeah, London pubs. Because he's trying to stop the closures and... introduced legislation that means that pubs are more likely to survive because he's saying any new houses that are developed in London have to have proper soundproofing. So if they're built in another pub and they're proper soundproofing, then all new houses have to have that because they don't want to then put people in these houses and everyone complains about the noise. This is what annoys me.
The noise
me.
From the pubs.
Oh, so well, this is
I mean,
a big gripe
Shoreditch
for the industry.
And Hoxton or even Westminster. Mm. When Shoreditch and Hoxton and that whole cool hipster place sort of just kicking off, bars and pubs and nightclubs were encouraged to go there, open up venues to breathe life back into the area. So they did all that. They attracted people into an area which has hitherto been totally dead. And then they get... Sorry about that. I don't know where that was coming from.
It's me.
So these bars were the sort of heartbeat of the area. And then obviously people working in the city decide this is a cool place to live. We're going to move in there. They build loads of... swanky flats around these pubs and bars and nightclubs.
And then people go, hang on, can we turn it down?
You go, well, that's the whole reason this place is, it's got the character it does. And it kind of annoys me. It's like moving to the country and just saying,
the cows are a bit
too
noisy.
Many cows.
So
I don't like
Why
the cows.
Is it so quiet?
Oh, how quiet it is, exactly.
It is annoying being stuck behind a tractor on the school run.
Yeah. It'd be like you moaning about a tractor.
Yeah.
Oh, but I wouldn't do that. I imagine you don't moan to the tractor driver.
I might give him the finger when I go past. I really
slow. Spit on him. It really is a spit.
Some are very courteous and they'll pull over. You know, if they know they're being really slow and it's like the school run or something, they'll just move out your way, which I really appreciate. Like, give them a little wave, a little tinkle.
You do what? A little tinkle in the car.
After giving them a finger. Interesting. So that's my
weird country life.
But I think that's a good move by Sadiq Khan, who seems to be doing more
it's
for
brilliant.
Pubs.
I think you'd like, again, even Soho, people complain about the noise as residents in Soho, and you see a lot of complaints about how Soho's changed over the years, and it's not what it used to be. But that's good that he's coming in and saying,
but also,
shut up,
pubs
these are
always
good things for the community.
Always get grief as opposed to... off-licenses or supermarkets. Not in terms of noise, but in terms of drunk.
Yeah, yeah. it's not really the pub, is it? It's the people in the pub.
People don't tend to come out rolling drunk from the Tesco local.
No, but they will often buy drinks in a supermarket, go home and drink them, and then go to the pub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
See?
Okay, well, so Sadiq is representing the nighttime industry.
So Sadiq, that's my
positive fashion swallow.
Well, we agree with that, I think, don't we?
Yeah, I really do.
By the way, can I say, this is very intimate today.
Yeah, we're on a very small table, and we're kind of all sort of looking the same way.
And Sam, on the way in, has read some raunchy literature, so just to warn you listeners, it's going to get sexy.
Yeah. I once went on a blind date with a girl. Luckily,
as a heterosexual man, that is good for you.
Yeah, it was
well done.
The first box ticked as I walked in, and at one point I did actually think it was a blind date because she was so nervous. She was sat at the bar and she was looking straight forward, and I sat next to her. I went hi, and she didn't look at me. She just looked straight on, and she talked to me whilst looking straight on the whole time. It was really hard. It wasn't even like a mirror behind the bar.
I imagine that gave you the best chance you've ever had on a date.
Yeah, I was like, brilliant. And you probably what I look like. It's the only time I went to the loo, and I came back out, and I was like, she's still looking forward. I'm gonna go.
Was this the one that looked like Napoleon Dynamite?
No, that was a different one. That wasn't a blind date.
No, that's true. But after the shenanigans with the Napoleon Dynamite in a bar in Chiswick,
that's not complimentary.
We were in the same bar, and she walked in, and Ben, to his credit, hid under a table.
I literally, at one point, I was crawling through.
Commando style.
Her friend's legs.
Yeah,
that was bad.
I can't remember your name,
Napoleon Dynamite, but I'm really sorry about that. Talking of going to the toilets, my...
My spit. Sadiq, you've got two. You've got two swallows this week. Sadiq and toilets. Where is this going?
Anyway, just like to tell you, everyone here knows, but... The listeners don't know, but I'm currently enduring a terrible bout of flu, which has turned a little bit gastric. I don't tell you.
Yeah, it's not really flu, is it? You've got the shits.
I've got the shit. So anyway, it made me think about pub toilet signs. You know how traditionally you go to the pub toilet and there is a door with the word ladies and a door with a gents on.
Yes.
But now pubs have this thing where
the gender sign.
I don't know what the gender signs are, I can't remember. I do know, but it takes me a second.
There's a urinal.
When it's bats out of a clock tower, you haven't got time for that stuff.
You don't need that.
And then there's other ones where there's like a cat and a dog, and you're like, well, I know female dogs and I know male cat. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Or a shoe and like a scarf. You're like, for fuck's sake, just tell me. I don't know why.
Pair of boobs and a woolly?
Yeah, well, there was one which was a big black cockerel and a pussycat. But even that, in my brain, takes a little too long, which when there's no time to waste.
Yeah.
I wish people would just put men, women, and I know we're in an era of gender fluidity.
Yes.
But until they get that third toilet,
just stop dicking around with it.
I would say that in a matter of urgency, if you walk in and you see a urinal or not a urinal, that's usually the giveaway. And one of my my favourite toilet encounters was at John F. Kennedy Airport, where an Eastern European gentleman who was in his 70s walked into the gents and a row of urinals that were all busy, bar one, and he took his trousers down and shit in the urinal.
He totally misunderstood, and then
he pulled his trousers up and walked out. That was his hands, or indeed wiping his bottom. So what I'd say there is, you know, you'll see the urinal, and that's enough time for you to get your kecks down. So just don't worry about it. We live in this world where I think it's okay to go into the ladies. I don't think there's a problem with that.
I can't remember.
But I tell you what, another bugbear is that the changing tables for children are always
in the women's.
They're always in the women's. Yeah, that's and then you go in there and you're like, and then they say, where's your baby? And you go, I don't have a baby.
Why are your trousers down?
I don't have a baby. And then...
I was once queuing in the ladies in a bar, in the toilet of the bar, not in the bar, And the lady in front of me was really, really drunk, and she started going to the toilet in the queue, and she didn't realise, and she had basically had urine running all the way down her jeans and onto a puddle on the floor. She was just standing there sweating. And of course, she hadn't realised she'd gone. She then went into the toilet, and I thought, you're not going to be long, love. You just emptied your bladder all over the floor.
Brilliant. That's interesting.
Really, we were talking about pub toilets recently.
Yeah, there's often on a slant.
So sometimes you need more. I'd say that's almost a bigger bugbear for me than the signage, the sheer lack of volume of bogs.
Well, yeah, interesting. It's usually the women, but in the Elgin pub opposite Ladbroke Grove Tube Station, where we used to drink.
For example, allegedly,
before it was refurbed, obviously had a problem with drainage, and consistently on a Friday night, it was absolutely rammed, and the gents, the toilets would start to flood, and there was actually a sea of piss. So you'd have to urinate from outside the door into the sea of piss rather than walk in there, especially.
Or
maybe
just go outside in that situation. That is an advantage that men have.
Yeah, we can. But then you can get done as
Well, I'll tell you, that's another bugbear. A third bugbear. Did you know that, and I don't know the exact figures, so this is undermines what I'm about to say, but the number of public toilets in London has dropped dramatically.
Why? Yes.
Maintenance, I suppose.
Maintenance and
cost savings.
And
have a word with Sadiq.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do. But at the same time, fines for public urination have gone up.
There's a correlation now.
Yeah,
it's more the indecent exposure thing that worries me. Yeah. What's weird about those bogs they opened in the streets where you can actually just urinate in the middle of the street, like with no cover? You know
England.
That is a borderline indecent exposure territory, isn't it?
Well, it is if you turn around, someone touched on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I've been nicked.
If there's a small child wandering past,
I didn't want to go there, but
that's interesting.
Pretty unpleasant. I mean, with two small children who regularly interrupt me while I'm on the toilet these days, I have to say I've become a bit blasé about that. Yeah. But yeah,
I've also got a mate who. And I can't name him.
A mate.
No, it definitely is a mate.
And I
I could name him. No, I'm not going to. No,
Sadiq.
Let's call him Sadiq for argument's sake. Who, when he goes to a public loo, he has to take off his shoes, his socks.
His son does that.
Pants and trousers. Yeah, your son might do it, but how old's your son?
He's six.
This man has got a job and he's got three children himself.
Don't tell me.
So that narrows it down and you know who you are. And he just says he can't go otherwise. And I've got another mate who always takes his watch off. And anyway, right. Well, that was my spit or swallow. I think we've put some very, very relevant cultural points across there.
You did, yeah.
And now it's time for a tasting. And I think it's Tom because there seems to be two bottles of, I don't know, dark looking muck.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
They're liqueurs, Ben. We're going to be tasting liqueurs.
One of which looks like something out of a Cluedo game.
Yeah, they're quite nice bottles, aren't they?
Well, should we start with, like, what is it?
Well, let's start with liqueurs and why I'm doing them. We are recording this weeks from Christmas.
That's right.
It's coming. And
I heard my first Christmas songs on the radio this week.
okay.
A bit of Shaken Stevens this morning.
One of the big problems, and it could have easily been a spit or swallow for someone, maybe next week, is the music that's played in pubs at this time of the year.
Doesn't need to be all festive.
We can come back to that, but it's also the shittiest festive music.
No.
Why don't you just play like old sort of Sinatra stuff?
That's all right, that Christmas
music.
Stuff's nice.
Or a bit of Nat King Cole.
Yeah, that's fine. But not like Wham.
Yeah.
Seriously, or, love Wham.
I know, that is a good one. That's a bad choice.
That doesn't mean it's good.
No. But Christmas is a time where we tend to look for a liqueur. It's a nice, sweet, warm, bit low ABV alcohol. And people tend to go for the Baileys, don't they?
Yeah.
Love a Baileys.
There's nothing wrong with Baileys at all.
Or an Amaretto mixed with a Baileys is quite
blimey.
Tasty.
What's that called?
Is it really?
Sounds like something like a slippery nipple.
Amaretto. No, I don't know. I made it up. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's call it a slippery nipple because, you know, it's you read that book earlier. Keeps us on message.
Slippery seat.
Nothing wrong with Baileys. I just wanted to give people a wider perspective on their liqueur moment and maybe mix it up a bit, maybe go for something a bit more expensive and maybe appropriate to food, because we're going to eat a lot of food over Christmas Day, and at the end of the day you want to have something that's not massively alcoholic, that tastes nice, and maybe...
But we'll knock out your gran.
Well, you can do that with these bottles, Ben. You don't need to waste good booze on her. Just punch her in the face. So, liqueurs, then. What are they? Well, they are a spirit that has been flavoured. Usually a highly rectified spirit. Sorry, we have to get serious now, don't we? A highly rectified spirit.
It's good. It's good.
Neutral grain spirit, usually. And then people chuck all sorts of things, herbs, roots, fruits and spices into it.
Bit of sugar.
To flavour it. They can add some sugar into it as well.
Like the gin botanicals, almost. Chuck a load of stuff
in. Yeah, exactly like that. Mm. And they're very historic things. I mean, the ancient Greeks would have been resting these sort of botanicals in alcohol-based drinks because they felt they could cure all sorts of ills. The Egyptians on tombs had the same botanicals that are still being used in things like gin on their walls, and they thought they were good for them. So they put all these weird herbs, roots and spices into alcohol, and they were supposed to cure lots of different things, but ultimately they became the cure mostly for after-dinner tummy trouble. For settling
it's
a double whammy for you today, Ben. It's a Christmas drink after your food, and it will cure your shits. So lots of different things were added to them, and they can be added in different ways. They can be left and macerated over a long period of time, so you put your herbs and spices in there into the spirit and just leave them sitting there as a cold maceration. You can heat the liquid up, which speeds that maceration process up. You can redistill. With a London dry gin, there's a rule that you have to redistill with those botanicals. There are no rules applying to liqueurs like that. So really, you can put anything you like into alcohol and call it a liqueur, which is good, because it means it covers a very broad spectrum of flavours.
It's quite interesting that liqueurs do come out at Christmas. It's funny that people open up a drinks cabinet at Christmas in a way that they never do the rest of the year. It's like, I don't know...
I wonder if it's partly seasonal. Like the liqueur is quite a warming drink. So it kind of associated with like log fires, nights in. So I think it's to do with
them. The sweetness, I think.
And the hangovers. I would go to work, maybe.
Yeah, people looking just, to keep drinking.
It's all gone to shit.
But they also they do taste quite nice, don't they? I mean, if you've been drinking a lot of big reds and you know, someone's offering you a whiskey or a Baileys at the end of the day, you might be tempted to go for the Baileys.
I now banned Baileys and Quality Streets from my house for two reasons. One, I couldn't understand why I was putting on so much weight over Christmas. And two, while
Wilf was drinking too much of it.
Yeah. And two, I was waking up at like 4 every morning having her sugar come down. Because basically I'd sit on TV, guzzle Baileys, eat all those Quality Streets that I love, all the, you know, orangey,
I can't believe you're a master of wine. It's just, you leave such a low-grade lifestyle.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, the disparity between your public life and your home life is astonishing.
It would so taste sweet, because one of the regulations is 250 grams of sugar per litre is permitted.
You are kidding.
So, I think that's right, that's as much as that. So that's why it'll be sweet. That's why people like them, because it's alcohol and it doesn't taste like alcohol. But we're going to go from one end of the scale to the other here, because we're going to talk about very bitter liqueur-style drinks to the sweeter sort of alternative to Baileys. And we're going to start off with Amaro, an Italian word for bitter.
What's the matter, you?
Pizza. and spaghetti bolognese. Lasagna. it's a style of liqueur traditionally from Italy. And they're deep, dark colours, and they've got lots of herbs and spices in. And the Italians have traditionally created these specifically for after dinner. So the
A digestive. So this is the sweet one. This is what I'm going to like.
No, this is the bitter one. So we're having cocchi.
Stop it. Grow up.
Cocchi. Vermouth Amaro. Now, I've
so this is... So, but vermouth normally
now, this
is
this is an Amaro, but they've used a vermouth...
Oh, that's nice.
...and vermouth approach. So I'm starting with something quite confusing. I'll level you. I promise
nice
this
colour.
Will make you better. It's a lovely colour, but they've used a wine base. So with a liqueur, you can use a you would traditionally use a neutral grain spirit, but they've used a wine base. So that takes us to a slightly different area of Amaros, and they've used the... And this is for you, really, yeah. Sam. Barolo Cinato wines.
Oh.
Apparently, they've got a DOCG in Italy, so it's a very specific.
Yeah.
It's a very specific style of wine, which is flavoured with herbs and spices and fortified as well. So they take the grape spirit to fortify it as well. So that's at the base of this, which already adds a layer of complexity that you wouldn't get from a normal liqueur. So you've got wine at the base of it, and then they add all the different ingredients on top of that, all the different herbs and spices to add to that complexity.
So this one's made from the Nebbiolo grape then?
I really long at that.
Presumably, which
it's
is good
amazing.
Because actually Nebbiolo generally when it's aged can get this orangey colour.
Yeah.
Now obviously Barolo and Barbaresco, one of the top wines, they're fine wines. I personally don't particularly like them.
Well, do you like them when they've treated them in this fashion?
Prefer them
when
they shove a load of herbs in. Yeah.
Yeah, and fortify it with a bit of spirit as well. It's 16%.
It's a very intriguing... smell.
It's beautiful.
So they've got bitter orange wine, marmalade.
Well, they've got rhubarb.
Got a bit of cinnamon in there.
So there might be some rhubarb. They've got wormwood in it, which is, of course, the ingredient at the heart of absinthe that causes all the trouble with the two Jones sending people loopy. It doesn't.
I quite like that.
It doesn't, but that's the...
What's the sugar?
There is a bit of sugar in there as well. It's got quincona bark in it, which is... we talk a lot about in our show when we talk about gin, because quinine is what the people who are travelling down to the subtropics would have protected them against malaria. So there's a big dose of quinine in here, or quincona bark, which relates back to the quinato.
Which means you won't get
wine, because that's a quinine.
Malaria.
Quinine additive.
Over Christmas.
So. Yeah, in your freezing hovel, Ben. Those mozzies won't get you.
No.
Well, I like that. And it's a, that's a 75cl bottle.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bottle.
Where do you buy it?
Whiskeyexchange.com. So it's a vermouth Amaro. So I'm not going to lie, I've started with something which is a combination of many things. Liqueur, vermouth, Amaro.
It's really nice.
But it's based on an original recipe from...
it's almost a bit like...
Cocky.
Like a Negroni. A sweet
Negroni. Yeah, that's it. It's a lot of complex things in a glass. It's almost like it could have a bit of gin in there, thanks to those bitter notes.
Oh, I like
but
it.
It's got
what it does as well, it's got that double whammy.
Shot.
It's got the bitterness to feel as if it's cutting through all that turkey and that.
Mm.
And then also it's got the sweetness.
Lovely acid to refresh as
well. Yeah, and it's got that, but it's got that sweetness as well, which is...
Oh, thumbs up.
Really,
yeah.
I really like that. Well done, Tom.
Serve it chilled.
Finally brought something in my life.
Over ice. Serve it in a wine glass before. You could have it before because it's sort of bitter and prepares the palate.
Almost like a Campari, like a sweet Campari.
Well, this is the thing that Ben and I have been saying. We tend to rather than always go for a really nice big rum, like you'd like a Venezuelan rum, Diplomatico, or going for a whiskey at the end. We found ourselves... I'm sure you saw that out. We tend to go for those bitter flavours, and it's because of this historic idea that at massive banquets, we talked about Jägermeister in the past as well, these after-dinner digestives, because all these herbs and spices are supposed to settle your stomach. So that's why they serve them up. And this actually has got Dopo Teatro on the front, which is... that's my Italian pronunciation, Dopo Teatro,
what's that mean?
Which means after theatre. Apparently, the region this is from is Piedmonte. Piedmontese. So it's a tradition. Tradition in the theatres of Turin, after the theatre, to have some of this. So do that if you're going to see some Dick Whittington or some other
Panto. Drinkers.
Yeah.
Or indeed... The Thinking Drinkers, who will be at the Museum of Comedy from the 12th to the 23rd.
Still some tickets
left. Available. Come and see us. So that's the first one. I thought that we'd start with something bitter.
Yeah,
that's
really
go
nice.
To something slightly
sweeter. Do you know, Tom, I haven't had a twinge down below.
Well, you won't, Ben. It's my cast iron guarantee that you will have cast iron guts. Good. After that stuff.
Can I just comment on the bottle and packaging of your next liqueur?
So, the next liqueur we're going
looks
to have...
looks a bit like
is
Mr. Rabanne.
Mr. Black, and it comes in this beautiful square bottle with the label quite low down on it.
I call
and,
that a rectangle.
An awesome, awesome font.
That is definitely a rectangle,
it's a rectangle,
not a square.
Yeah, it's not a square, you're right. It's got a beautiful engraving on the back. It's I mean, it is a beautiful bottle, and it's a beautiful
It's basically
drink.
Tia Maria repackaged.
Well, it's coffee. It's coffee liqueur, and it's cold-pressed coffee, and it's quite good quality coffee. So we're getting into the realms of
coffee. I don't drink caffeine. As a caffeine-sensitive individual.
Do you not?
No, it makes
me
feel
right. This is going to be fun. What with you and that sexy book you've read? A bit of caffeine to get you going as well.
Shake you out. Cold shower, that's what you need.
Sorry, I keep hitting the microphone. I'm getting flustered. Sam, read it. Why don't you read it for the podcast?
Yeah.
So this is Mr. Black, cold press coffee liqueur. Now, this is your alternative to Baileys. If you don't drink coffee, well, tough shit, we're going to do this anyway. But I just think it's a bit more of a discerning choice. Not that there's anything wrong with your Baileys choice, but it just sort of takes that after-dinner moment up a bit. If you're going to have coffee anyway, you want a liqueur, why not combine the two experiences? Cold extraction. So when we're talking about liqueurs and how they're made and all the different methods, here they just take their coffee and they put it into their neutral spirit and they just leave it cold, very cold, I think 23 degrees.
It's delicious.
So that's quite a specific temperature. That's a cold extraction of those flavours into
well,
the spirit.
Well, no, I'm smelling it.
Worry about the guts, the coffee.
I'd say coffee. A coffee liqueur may not be the best thing for me.
Coffee might offset what you've achieved
But if you think about it, a lot of people are into espresso martinis at the moment.
Yes.
Exactly.
And this is just a much more friendly, quicker... solution.
I think that's what I'm thinking with the basically you could turn this into an espresso martini. Basically shove it in a glass, put a creamy bit on the top.
Yeah. Do you know how to do? You put a bit of sugar in the liquid and then you pour the cream onto the back of the spoon and it sits.
That's how you do it.
Do you need the sugar?
Yeah. Well, you might not need it with this, actually.
I'm going to tell you a bit that's more about it.
Oh, lovely.
Okay.
It's delish.
If that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's good because I clearly don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, just going to take you off that. It was invented in 2012, so versus your Cocky, which is based on an original recipe from the 1800s. This one is quite a modern spirit and made in Australia. And over the Christmas festive spell, we're going to be spitting on the Australians a lot because they're already beating us in the ashes. But they do some great stuff over there with drinks at the moment. This is one of them. I do actually think, as far as coffee liqueurs go, alternatives to that after dinner drink, it's a good quality one. They do take the coffee very seriously, and I'm afraid I'm not a coffee snob, but they do take their coffee beans from Ethiopia, Brazil and Papua New Guinea, which sounds impressive. And that long, slow, cold extraction process with those coffees, I think, does put a lot of the coffee flavour in there.
So it's definitely got that taste of the coffee bean.
Yeah, it tastes
rather than the kind
coffee,
of coffee...
rather than a coffee flavour.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's classy, I think.
That's coming through.
And they haven't overpowered
but
it
But if you
sweetness.
Were to bite into a coffee bean...
Yeah. And the packaging is stunning. It's beautiful. That would make a really nice gift. Yeah. It's really smart.
And it's called
really
Mr.
Smart.
Black. I don't think you actually said what the name is.
I did the rest at the beginning.
Yeah, that's
something from Cluedo. Is it from
Mr. Cluedo? I love it.
Mr.
Black is actually the man who owns the house in Cluedo.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, okay.
Certainly the new version.
Right, okay.
But Mrs. White's
so there's a link there because you might be playing Cluedo over the Christmas period.
It just keeps on giving.
It's just amazing.
Cluedo fanatics.
Yeah, and we've all. And
we should give at Christmas.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, well done, Tom. That was interesting.
Well,
I've got to say that Cocky Vermouth Amaro
was the one for you.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Beautiful. I will be taking that home. I will not be gifting that to anyone. The bottle we've opened, that's going home to be actually drunk on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Will you? On Christmas Day?
Yeah, for sure.
And will you have it as a digestive?
I'm going to have it as an aperitif and then I'll go back to it at the end of the day.
Just drink heavily throughout the day just to get through
this
horror.
Only, what did I say, 16%? 16%. So, yeah, you
could
just like a strong
bottle
of wine.
Do you have fizz on Christmas Day?
Well, we've been through this. I don't like champagne.
Oh, yeah,
we might open a bottle of Prosecco. We'll get to your wines in the next podcast or the podcast after and you can suggest some wines on Christmas Day.
Well, doesn't Christmas Day is not good? We've discussed this before. It's not a good day this year.
Exactly. Don't waste a good gear on this Christmas.
Okay.
It's not a fruit or flower. I think flower is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So I just scull loads of vermouth.
Yeah.
Get the cocky down you.
Right. Now, Sam.
Finito. Is that Italian?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they say. all the time out there. Sam, it's now you. Can you tell us about your legend of liquor?
My legend of liquor isn't a long one.
Okay, good.
So we'll we'll see that if you need to go to the lavatory. Have you heard? Actually, you might have heard of him. Have you heard of a guy called Gerard Basset?
No.
Not the Gerard Basset.
I've never heard of him.
The Gerard Basset.
I thought you were going to say Gerard Depardieu. That's unfortunate.
Oh, no, I'm not doing him. Mm. So Gerard Basset is one of the...
Sam, keep the face.
One of the nicest men in the wine trade and the most, crucially, the most qualified wine person in the world.
Really?
What?
He is simultaneously a master of wine.
That's easy.
A master sommelier.
Easy again.
Has the wine MBA.
What? Just a basketball, isn't it?
An MSc in wine management.
And that's the science
at the
one.
OIV.
That's
and
good.
Was made an OBE for Ooh. Services to hospitality. So he,
what?
He is...
There's an OBE for services to hospitality?
OBE, me. Yeah. It is. That
just
is quite a lot of good acronyms.
And he was in 2010, I think.
Does he put all of those on his email? Have you ever emailed him?
I have emailed him and I can check, but I don't think he does.
Does he put BA on his signature?
Yeah.
He puts BA on.
And he became, in 2010, he won the World Champion Sommelier. So he was the best
sommelier in the world. But how do they do that? Is it on stage?
It's a lot of practical stuff.
Are you in awe of this man's achievements?
You know what? Yes. Not just his achievements. Well, actually, I'll come on to that as well. So, A, he is obviously bright and he's so kind. He's a lovely Frenchman. He's got a son and a wife called Nina. And he always credits her with, you know, giving the time to go off and do this stuff.
She sounds mentally ill.
Are you listening, Sophie?
And
why would you do that?
But I mean, so he is the most qualified man in the world. No one else simultaneously is a master of wine, a master sommelier, has the MBA, is an OBE, etc., etc.
But is he happy?
Yes, is I he? Think oh. he is.
Where does he live?
Well, I'm coming on to that.
Okay.
So he was a founding father of Hotel de Vannes.
Yeah.
So not only is he a brilliant taster and a nice bloke.
That means wine hotel, Tom.
Yeah.
But he also set up with a partner.
What does that mean?
It means shag palace.
And we're back to
it
that
does
book.
In your mind.
We're back to that book.
Can I continue?
Yeah.
Thanks. So he set up Hotel de Vannes with a partner. Then he sold it and he set up an independent boutique with his wife Nina in the New Forest called Hotel Terravina, which is also fabulous. And where I would say that's a place where I properly understood that wine and food matching isn't bullshit. And that he was so nice. I remember these two dishes I ordered, I remember to my dying day. As long as I don't get Alzheimer's or something.
That was good, Sam.
And we had this amazing porcini and like truffle oil risotto. And I would have gone with a really heavy white, because with food and wine matching, you can either marry or cut through. He went to cut through because obviously risotto is quite rich. So he went for an Italian white, and I think it was the Pirapan La Rocca Suave from memory, and it was just blew my mind. It was absolutely sensational. It was the completely reverse of what I'd chosen. It was absolutely amazing, and he always really looks after us when we go. Actually, he's so generous. And another time we went, I had a rabbit pie with a New Zealand Viognier. Again, sensational. And also, when I did my dissertation, he was really generous with sending out my questionnaires to loads of his on-trade contacts so I could get feedback from sommeliers. Nice. He's just humble and thoughtful and kind.
He's got an OBE.
So basically, I just think when people are successful and have achieved what he's achieved and still so deeply and widely liked and admired in the wine trade... then basically Gerard Basset is my legend.
Especially in the hospitality industry, because it's a bit like the tabloid press. It's sort of, for a while there, had this reputation, you've got to be a bit nasty, and it just has that reputation for the kitchen. It's okay to talk to people like that, and less so in the bar industry, I suppose, but it's nice to hear that someone in hospitality is genuinely kind and enjoys hosting people. Because that's the one reason I haven't ended up working in that environment is because I just
don't like people.
Hate people. And just accommodating them in my own home is makes me feel sick. to my bone. So, well
done. I look forward to coming for dinner.
You're not invited. That's the way I get around it. You just don't come over.
And what's the place in New Forest?
Hotel Terravina. Got an amazing outdoor pool. It's got lovely rooms. There's not that many. I'm going to say there's 12. It's very kind of personal.
Very nice.
And I remember going for dinner and you can leave the... We went when Wilf was really little, like maybe sort of 6 months, and we left the monitor at reception and went for dinner and, you know, lovely food, lovely wine.
Brilliant.
But I recommend it. Really good.
I just want to take a leaf out of Gerald's book, and I think you should too as well, Ben, and just say, my wife is brilliant and...
Yeah,
I'm successful.
She's the wind beneath my wings.
Not my wife, your wife.
No, my wife, yeah.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah.
Talking of wind, I probably should actually wrap this up quite quickly. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming, because I know you're both very busy people. You're not. You've been fascinating.
Thank you for listening, listeners.
Thank you for listening.
Love the tweets we get as well.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a tweet we got recently about the nice man is going to have his Barolo on Christmas Eve because it's the flower day. And you think, oh my God, people are listening to what we say.
Jane, she's a in the regular bath. Twitter yeah. in the yeah. bar.
Comedy. And tell everyone else to listen.
Please leave reviews on the
maybe get
the iTunes and all the things.
Yeah, share, put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Let's get some more listeners.
And if you didn't like it, don't bother. All right.
And if you want to learn more about the Museum of Comedy, then why don't you come down between the 12th and the 23rd of December, where you can see our show.
You can put on Freddie Starr's jacket. So there we are. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Cheers.
Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.